Old Testament reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Would you please stand for the gospel reading? The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him for the third time. "Do you love me?" he said. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This is the gospel of Christ.
Cheers, Ewan. Thank you very much. Please be seated. Well, I hope you slept well last night. I slept well, and I slept so well I had a dream. And I dreamt I went to heaven. And when I got there, it wasn't what I thought it would be. I walked in, and there was a big room, and there was an angel. I thought, well, yeah, angel, good. And then there was a ladder going up into the clouds. And then next to there was another angel, another ladder, another angel, another ladder. I thought, gosh, I didn't read anything about this in the Bible. But so I went up to the first angel. I said, so I'm just here, love to look around heaven, have a look around, see what's going on. And the angel said, brilliant, lovely to see you. Here's a piece of chalk. What you need to do is go up the ladder. And at the top of the ladder, there's a board, and you need to write out your most recent sins on the board, and then off you go, have a look around him. I thought, oh my goodness, okay. So I took the chalk up the ladder, and as I was going up there, we've got to get it halfway, and then I saw someone coming down the ladder next to me, and it was Fraser. And Fraser was coming down the ladder. I was going up, and I said, Fraser, what are you doing? Oh, I've run out of chalk. Sorry, Fraser. So sorry, Fraser. Last Sunday, Fraser laid a wonderful foundation for this beautiful psalm, Psalm 23. Fraser reminded us that as God's children, as God's sheep, we belong to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And this means, as Fraser said and I so valued, that we are managed and protected by Jesus. And therefore, there is no deeper satisfaction to him and for him than that of seeing us, his shepherd, his children, contented, free, and flourishing, all under his loving care, which leads perfectly to the next two verses of this psalm, Psalm 23 and verse 2 and 3. I'm just going to make three simple points this morning, and they all begin with the letter R. So let's just pray for a moment. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock, our redeemer, and our good shepherd, we love you. Amen. So here's the first point. It's simply the rest. Verse 2. He makes me lie down. He makes me lie down. Do you know, and you probably know, that it is extremely difficult to make sheep lie down. I discovered that the only way to get sheep to actually lie down when they're free of four things. Sheep will only lie down when they're free of fear, free of friction and agitation from other sheep, free from the attacks of flies and parasites, and when they're free from hunger and thirst. Well, there's the first parallel. As God's children, as God's sheep, we are able to rest and feel secure, aren't we, when we are free of fear, when we're secure, not afraid, when we're free from tension and aggression or from other people in our relationships, we're able to lie down. When we're spiritually, when we're feeling connected to God, when we're feeling well fed, or the Holy Spirit is close, then just like sheep, we're able to rest. And of course, in this scenario, it's the Good Shepherd's presence. It's Jesus' presence and intervention in our lives that enables us to lie down and just be rested in ourselves, in our souls. Fraser read out some lovely verses from the communion table a couple of weeks ago from the Message version of the Bible, and I think they're extremely helpful here. This is a Message version from the Gospel of Matthew. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Well, come to me, Jesus said. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. The key to rest, as Matthew reminds us, is intimacy, is connectedness, is the experience of knowing the Good Shepherd close to us, his presence with us. And you know, the Gospels of Jesus Christ are a great place to live in and to be in if we want to experience Christ's presence. Do you know, as we read about him, reflect on his life, put ourselves in the biblical narrative by using our imaginations, taking time to travel through the Gospels, what we discover is that Jesus was and is a very restful, peaceful friend and brother, and encourages us and puts a huge priority on giving people and giving his children rest. Hang on, Mr. Reverend, you might be saying as you're thinking about this. Jesus was incredibly busy turning over tables, making demands on his followers, telling people to go here and there, do this and that. Yeah, as you read the Gospels, there is no denying that he placed a huge priority on getting the work done, being action-orientated. But in balance to that, he put a huge priority on helping his friends and followers enjoy rest, restoration, and peace. Come with me, he often said to his friends. Come away with me and get some rest. Come and have some breakfast. Look, I've cooked a lovely meal for you on the beach here. Fish, come and have some breakfast. Sit down. Rest, he said to the tired fisherman. Look, here's a pub. Why don't we go in and have a meal? Let me buy it. I'll buy you a meal. Buy a glass of wine. Let's sit down, chill out, relax, have a meal. He said that to the two tired and confused friends as they walked on the way to Emmaus. And then, of course, we all know, Martha, Martha. You are so stressed out, Martha. Chill out, relax. Look, Mary has chosen what is best, just to sit down, be quiet, rest. Come and sit down, Martha, and just get some rest. Well, as 2020 begins, why not make a clear plan to spend more time just getting closer to Jesus, seeking his presence, keeping company with him, maybe slowly reading through the four Gospels over the next few weeks, just taking your time, reading them, reflecting on them, putting yourself in the narrative, in the stories, using your imagination. Do you know, as we do this, God promises, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you, he promises. And as the good shepherd he is, he will bring freedom from fear, freedom from anxiety, freedom from agitation, and he will give you rest. That's the first one. Firstly, rest. Secondly, restoration and renewal. A restored and renewed sheep. We're on the verse. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Do you know, I absolutely love this. He restores my soul. He leads me to green pastures. He leads me to still waters. Do you know, all these are wonderful expressions of that convey the truth that it is God alone, by his word and by his spirit, that he renews and restores our lives and deep within our souls. You know, just as Eastern Shepherd provided their sheep with green pastures, fresh water to keep their flocks active and in good shape, so does Jesus do with us by the pastures of his word and by the water of his spirit, the water of the Holy Spirit. With a new year upon us, like many, many of you here, I've been spending time looking back over the past year, reflecting on my own spiritual whakapapa, you know, where I come from, what I believe. I think New Year is a great time to do that as preparation to look forward. Over the past week, I've been reminded again how God had rescued and restored my soul over in the UK from, well, being a real reprobate, actually, and then becoming a follower of the Good Shepherd Jesus. And then after being found by him, being adopted into a Christian, evangelical, Bible-believing family who I lived with for many years, who nurtured me in the way of Bible memorization, Bible reading plans, Bible study, and Bible application. Wonderful, wonderful years of foundational biblical truths in an evangelical setting. And then, just a couple of years after that, going along to a conference in central London where a guy called John Wimber and a whole bunch of people, a team from California Vineyard Church, came and taught so many of us about the Holy Spirit, about the ministry and the experience of the Holy Spirit that they had learned, sharing with us worship, intimacy, healing, evangelism, using the gifts of the Spirit. And then, only this week, finding myself once more overflowing with gratitude again for how Jesus the Good Shepherd led me to work on the staff team of a lovely church plant from Holy Trinity, Brompton, where I first met Fraser, HTB, many years ago, and worked on that staff team for 10 years, where this ministry of the Word and the Spirit were held in balance and were honored and were taught and were lived out. Do you know, over the many years of ministry and travel to different places around the world, I've come to learn a really important lesson. That there's a danger in not holding the Word and the Spirit in balance. To emphasize one over the other. Or, as we're discovering, leaving both out completely. What is that about? Let me give you an example. You may go along to a church one day, and it's very word-based. I mean, it's great. I'm not knocking it. Brilliant Bible teaching. But there's no room for the Holy Spirit. No room allowed for the Holy Spirit to move in and touch people. And then maybe you do a bit of church hopping, hope not. But anyway, maybe you attend another church and the worship music, you come in and the worship music is so loud, goes on for an hour and a half. There's no expository Bible teaching, there's only sort of Holy Ghost stories. And it all seems slightly wacky. Well, I love what one person, one very wise person, put it like this in referring to the pastures of God's Word and the waters of God's Spirit. They said this: all Word, we dry up. All Spirit, we blow up. But with Word and Spirit held in balance, we grow up. Well done. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. The verse is a clear reminder that for ongoing spiritual renewal, restoration, and reformation, that the church needs to be reformed over and over again. For this ongoing reformation and renewal of the spiritual life, we need to feed on the good pastures of God's Word, but also we need to allow for the Holy Spirit so that we can come and drink deeply of the Spirit's, of the living water of the Holy Spirit. It's like train tracks, two train tracks. For the church is the train, for the church to go along, we need two tracks, Word and Spirit. And then the church is able to move forward into renewal, constant reformation. It was lovely being able to work with George, who was a Church of the Savior, where I did a curacy, where George held on both to Word and Spirit as our vicar, and it was such a pleasure to be able to go and work there with George for 18 months in that same vein. Last point, let's move on. Rest, restoration and renewal, and now we're on verse 3, right living. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, the Eastern Shepherd, back in the day, carried with him three pieces of equipment. Two of these pieces of equipment were used to guide sheep along right paths and in the right direction. One was a sling, and the other a staff. I'm not going to talk about the staff because that's in another verse in a couple of weeks' time. But I'll just hone in on the shepherd's sling for a moment. Now, shepherds were amazingly accurate with their slings. And of course, you know how David, who probably wrote this psalm, only needed one of his five stones to slay and kill Goliath. I had to think about that. I thought, with all this cricket going on, I suppose it's a bit like getting Aussie batsman Steve Smith out first ball. Yeah, right, that'll never happen. The shepherd's sling was not normally used as a weapon, though, but used as a way of correcting and directing the sheep. Now, please just use your imagination just for a moment. Over here comes a wayward sheep. It has wandered away from the flock. It has spotted some nice, juicy green grass over here, and it's slowly making its way towards it. What it does not see is there is a hyena lurking in the bushes. Or maybe there's a precipice, a cliff that it may fall over, and it doesn't see it. But the good shepherd sees. Suddenly he gets out his sling. Whizz, plop. He lands a stone right in front of its nose. The sheep looks up, startled, turns around, sees the shepherd is calling it, and it sort of ambles back safely. Bad sheep. Back in the right direction. It is now going back in the right direction. Well, how does this apply to you and me today? How does our shepherd correct and direct us along right paths and in right living? Well, I wonder whether you've sometimes found yourself on the verge of telling a lie. Maybe making some unkind comment to someone. Maybe you're about to push send on that grumpy email of complaint. Or maybe anger's welling up within you and you're just going to burst out with that swear word that you know it's going to make you feel good and, well, no, not at all. Or maybe you're tempted to take something that doesn't belong to you. Well, whatever it is, you're just about to do it. And then all of a sudden, something stops you. It's your conscience. Or perhaps something you sang in a hymn at church or a worship song pops into your head. Or maybe something from the Bible that you've read and memorized suddenly is in your thoughts. Well, I like how Robert Browning, the poet, put it. He said this: "You've been stung by the splendor of a sudden thought. The stone of the Good Shepherd has landed right in front of you, and you have stopped short and turned back just in time. And you once more are heading in the right direction. You're living in a right way." Psalm 23 is a great reminder to us that our Good Shepherd Jesus has our welfare at heart. You know, he wants every single one of us to be happy and good. And that is why he goads, he guides, and he guards us in his way. Sometimes life will be easy as he leads us by still waters, places of rest and renewal. But sometimes he takes us through the valleys of disappointment, the valleys of discouragement. But through it all, he does promise to be with us. And what a wonderful word of comfort to close on. That we who belong to Jesus can have the assurance, the absolute confidence, that we will never lack the leading of God in our lives. For he does promise to guide us in paths of righteousness, in ways of right living. He promises rest. He promises renewal. He promises restoration and reformation to lead us in the right ways, the right paths. As we stay seated, let's just be quiet for a moment, turning to a moment of prayer. just in the silence of your own heart, coming to the Good Shepherd. Maybe today you're feeling you're here and you're feeling a bit tired or weary. Maybe weighed down by fear or anxiety, or maybe friction within a relationship. Just invite the Holy Spirit to come and bring rest. Maybe you'd like to make a quiet commitment to Jesus, to invest time in His Word and seeking His Spirit over the next few weeks leading into the new year, asking for restoration and renewal. Come away, Jesus says, to a quiet place and get some rest. And as we come to communion, we remember that Christ died for every wrong thing we said or done or thought, and leads us in the way of right living. Maybe in the silence of your heart, you just need to say sorry to God for something. And just turn back as you come to communion, making a commitment to right living and walking in righteousness. Father, I pray for all of us here that we would enjoy relationship and intimacy with you, that we'd grow in that relationship this year. I pray that you'd restore and renew your church that bears your name. Draw your church back to yourself. Holy Spirit, come. And Lord, give us your Holy Spirit that we may live and walk in right paths, right living, following you and listening to you. Pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.